This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks, every other week we check in with the folks over at New Orleans and Company. And this week we have a couple of folks that we're going to talk to. First up is Nick Stillman, director of Prospect 6, the contemporary art exhibit. That's going to run from November to February. They continue their legacy as the longest-running citywide contemporary art triennial. There's a lot that they do. And, Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Newell.
So, Nick, I've heard a lot about your organization. This is actually, I think, the first opportunity that I have to talk to you. Tell us about Prospect 6.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you. So Prospect began as an organization shortly after Katrina, and really the original impetus was how can the contemporary art community in New Orleans, which was really growing at that time, play a role in the recovery of the city? And what happened was a triennial contemporary art exhibition across the city, which was Prospect 1, that took place in 2008. Prospect 1 is still kind of revered as a very important show, not just in New Orleans, but globally, for how it put artists into conversation with a landscape that was very politically charged. And to be honest with you, Newell, I don't know that the originators of Prospect really ever anticipated that the Prospect would be something that outlasted that first effort. But I think it was so... It was so thoughtful and successful in that it brought people to New Orleans to engage with contemporary art in a way that maybe hadn't happened before, that it really became imperative that that it continued. And so now we're on our sixth exhibition, and we are the longest running North American bi or triennial of our kind in the continent.
So Prospect is actually in other cities as well, right? Or no?
Prospect is not in other cities. We're just in New Orleans, so although there are other bi and triennials that happen across the world. But as far as American or really North American bi or triennials go, I would argue that we're the flag bearer.
Absolutely. 51 artists spanning approximately 20 venues and unconventional spaces. Let's focus on unconventional spaces right now. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's vast. And I think we all know what it feels like to see art in a museum or a gallery, and we do have some of that. But as you said, I think the real magic of Prospect can often be found when an artist is in a space that is not really made for art to be seen in. And so we'll have work, I think, most prominently in a building called the Ford Motor Plant, which is right on the Lower Ninth Ward Araby line. And it's a former factory that produced Model Ts 100 years ago and has had many lifespans since. And we'll have 12 artists with huge projects in this former factory building on the edge of town. It's going to be quite spectacular.
Absolutely. And so when we talk about venues, tell us about those.
You know, it's the project really tells us what the venue needs to be. And so as much as it would be easier for us to simply select venues and deliver them to the artists, it just doesn't really work that way, because so much of the work in Prospect is made for this show and is made in conversation with the environment and with the community. And so in some ways, the venues kind of come last. And it's a really thoughtful pairing that the staff and the curators do in matching an artist to the appropriate venue. It's a delicate dance.
Absolutely. And there are new opportunities. Like, I know one of the new commissions that y'all have is Raul de Nieves, and he will reimagine the New Orleans landmark, what is now known as Harmony Circle, right?
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away before the piece is installed, but Raul will be creating a piece for the Circle, as you mentioned. And unlike the Prospect piece that was there for Prospect 5, our most recent triennial, which was by Simone Lee, this time Raul and Prospect will be engaging that plinth, that 60-foot plinth that Robert A. Lee once stood on. So that's a big change, and we're just so excited and so honored to be able to use that space to really make a statement and do something special for New Orleans.
So there's a whole list of new artists. I mean, how did they come to being with Prospect?
Yeah, the artists are largely determined by our artistic directors. And this time, those people are Miranda Lash, who was once the chief curator of modern and contemporary art at the New Orleans Museum of Art. And her partner in this effort is Ebony G. Patterson, who is a wonderful, very well-known artist who, by the way, was in Prospect 3. So those are the two women who are selecting our artists. And it is it's the research project of a lifetime, really. I would say it's a small amount of the artists are maybe artists that Ebony and Miranda have always wanted to work with, or they had known about a project, and this is the perfect context for it. But with something so large like Prospect, that's no more than 20% of the list. And so the rest of the list is built slowly over time, and it quite literally takes years to come together to your roster of Prospect artists.
So Prospect 6... the future is present. The harbinger is home. Tell us about the meaning of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the curators, the meaning of that phrase is, let's just take it parse by parse. I think the future is present. What they're really saying here is maybe New Orleans is the future. And I think there's a tendency for both people within New Orleans and coming to New Orleans from other places to draw this conclusion that New Orleans is a place that's very much attached to its past. And that is true and probably always will be true. But I think some of the realities of life in New Orleans currently, the proximity to ecological change and the requirement of improvisation, the attachment to celebration and that being a focal point of daily life, some of these realities and behaviors are a lot closer to realities and behaviors that we see and they see throughout the rest of the world. And so I think the argument that they're putting forth with that first phrase is that New Orleans actually looks like the future of this country quite a bit more than we might give it credit for. New Orleans mm-hmm. might in some ways be a futurist city rather than a city that's largely attached to its past. And that second thing, the harbinger is home.
Let me ask you, that's interesting because sure, please, sometimes yeah. we're our own worst critic here, right?
Sure.
And we don't recognize sometimes the obvious and we're staring it in the face.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think there's a lot to learn from New Orleans, especially within our own country. And I think that's mm-hmm. going to be, I think there's a kind of expertise that we're going to see our country people gleaning from New Orleans. And I mean, we pay attention to the weather. Let's just start with the weather. I think
yeah.
New Orleans has a lot to
quite
share
a bit.
When it comes to sort of how you endure these things and continue to celebrate, continue to be together with friends and family in the face of constant environmental pressure.
True. And the second part, the harbinger is home.
Yeah, so a harbinger is, I think, colloquially, you hear that word kind of with a connotation of doom. But really, a harbinger, sort of technically speaking, is it's a message. Mm-hmm. And so I think the curators are offering Prospect as kind of a message to our viewers – And with one of those messages being, let's think about what home means to us. And I would say, look, in any show with this quantity of artists, there's going to be a certain amount of work made about ecological change and kind of climate politics. And that's just because we're all thinking about that, right? I don't think that's that's going to come as a surprise. And so that is definitely in the show. So is this concept of home. And I think some of that actually is driven by climate politics, which has made all of us kind of rethink home, rethink the what home can be, should be, where home can be and should be. And this show is so international. It's an extremely international roster of artists. And when you really dig into some of these artists, you'll see that they were born in one place, they live in another place, maybe they work in another place, or their gallery representation is in a fourth or fifth place. And so these ideas of home, I think, with our artists just as kind of a microcosm, I think it's representative of something that we're seeing throughout the globe. That word is getting slipperier and slipperier and maybe less and less definitive for a lot of people. And so we wanted to challenge these artists to investigate that concept with New Orleans sort of as their canvas, their platform for these ideas.
Now, Prospect 6 starts November 2nd through February 2nd of 2025. But November 1st, you guys have a big gala. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we sure do. Our gala is the evening of November 1st. It is our only fundraising event for our three-year cycle. And so tickets are still available. They're becoming more and more limited, but we would love for the community to come and support Prospect. This is the best way to show your support and also be in the same room as the artists, as the curators, as the people who really made this this huge citywide event happen. It's a great time. We'll have great food by local chefs. Big Frida will be there and a host of other local performers. Please come see us.
And that'll be November 1st, the evening of November 1st, 6 p.m. is the patron party. The gala starts at 7, and it's at the Sugar Mill, 1021 Convention Center Boulevard as well. And if folks want to find out more information about the artists, the commissions, and what the triennial will include, where would they go?
Yeah, prospect6.org. is our kind of microsite for the exhibition. And so that's your one-stop place to get all the details about the venues and how to see the show, about the artists and their projects, about the gala. Prospect6.org is where you need to go.
Nick, I have to tell you that the thing that you said that really struck me is that the folks at Prospect 1 probably never envisioned that we would be here on October 16th of 2024 talking about Prospect 6. And I love that about this initiative and this endeavor for certain.
Yeah, I mean, I think you in a crisis, you do what you can in the immediate moment. And so that idea was a big idea and a bit of a crazy idea. And it just happened to work. And when an idea is working,
well, we
do what you can
we do love crazy here, right? We do love crazy here, right?
Exactly right.
I mean, it just it blends well with what we do here for certain. I mean, other people, you know, it's funny. I was just on the East Coast, and everybody that I mentioned to, I was from New Orleans, without exception. In fact, I walked into the church where John F. Kennedy and the First Lady were married, and the folks working there were come to New Orleans every year for French Quarter Fest, and they said it is their favorite city. They've traveled throughout the world. They said it's their favorite city in the world, and I was just blown away. And they're so intrigued. Everyone that we met that we said we were from New Orleans, about New Orleans, and without exception, they all said that is our bucket list city. And it was just
it's never
refreshing
not a
to hear
it. It's never not a city that someone has a response to. And maybe I think the response can maybe be polarizing. New Orleans is a lot. But that's why we love it. And interestingly, 100+ years ago, there was a very strong behavior of contemporary art and audiences in New Orleans when there were kind of biennial expositions, is what they were called, in the early 1900s. Yeah. That tradition, it sort of went by the by after some years, but in some ways Prospect is a revival of New Orleans sort of acting as a global forum for people to come together and experience contemporary art again in a way that it did a century ago. And so that's something we're proud of.
You know, it was interesting, too. I didn't realize, like, we went to Newport and we went to see, you know, those Gilded Age mansions, right, that were built over there. It was amazing how many of not only those families either were had at some point lived in New Orleans or spent a good portion of their life here, but almost without exception, all had some kind of connection to New Orleans, which really struck me as well. So you see you know, it I think in all kinds of different ways.
It's such a good point, and I think it really, like, that connects to Prospect also, because Prospect is, or sorry, New Orleans is fundamentally a port city, and when you have a city whose identity is largely that, I think you get a lot of people passing through, you get a lot of cultures passing through, you get a lot of generations of cultures passing through, and that creates a lot of stories, a lot of narratives, a lot of histories that can sort of be micro histories that aren't well known, but that are incredibly complex and interesting and important to the development of the culture in the city. And that's really the content that we're asking our artists to investigate and dig into. And so with many of these projects, artists who are either New Orleans based or from other communities are spending significant amounts of time on the ground here researching and sort of teasing out those micro histories. And you'll see a lot of those in the work when you see Prospect 6.
Prospect 6, continuing its legacy as the longest-running citywide contemporary art triennial, Prospect 6 will feature the work of 51 artists spanning approximately 20 venues and some unconventional spaces as well. Nick Stillman, the director of Prospect 6, thank you so much for joining us today and educating us about this incredible accomplishment, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Newell. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you. That's Nick Stillman, director of Prospect 6. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland-Hart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we will visit with Brian Kern, the organizer of Crew of Boo Parade. It's a lot more than a parade. We'll talk about that as well. So,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stay with us. You know, folks, we just talked about Prospect 6 and how Prospect 1 started in the aftermath of Katrina. Well, our next guest is going to talk about something that is very similar. It started after Katrina as well. Brian Kern, organizer of Crew of Boo Parade. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. How are you today?
Doing great. This, though, is more than just a parade now. I mean, y'all have a whole host of activities around this, and this crew is growing every year.
Yes, it is. This is my 11th year. My father started the parade post-Katrina in 2007. It rolled in 8, 9, and 10, didn't roll in 11 and 12, and I resurrected it in 2013. Didn't roll in 2020, but this is, the 11th year. Last year, we had about 150,000 people on the streets, and we're expecting even more this year. This Friday, we start off, we have a luncheon, our royal luncheon, and we're honoring our king, who's Mr. Floats. People know who Pennywise is from the It movies. Mr. Floats looks just like him. He's going to be the king. And then we have Devery Henderson, a former Saints player, Hall of Famer, Saints Hall of Famer. He's going to be our Grand Marshal, and we're doing a royal luncheon at Galatoire's at noon. Well, actually 11:30. A second line through the quarter, a party at Pat O'Brien's. And then Saturday morning, we start off with our zombie run in the Warehouse District. Starts and ends at Lucy's. We'll probably have about 700 people at that. And we still have registration up for that. And then, of course, the parade on Saturday night and our big after party at Generations Hall.
And you guys have 500 riders from all around the world. That's larger than a bunch of Mardi Gras crews.
Yeah, my first year we had a few, like maybe 200 people. Now we're up to 500. We've got a lot of people come in from all over the country and ride in it each year. We also have Monster Energy out of Atlanta. They have 100 riding spots in the parade, and Pat O'Brien's. We get a lot of local support from Pato's, from Haunted History Tours. The mortuary, chiwis, and unlike the Mardi Gras parades, we throw a lot of edible treats. We're doing moon pie minis from Chattanooga Bakery, Elmer's chiwis. This year, Zapp's potato chips reached out to us, and every rider is going to be throwing an assortment of Zapp's potato chips. And they brought in about 800 cases, and that was my total order. And then another 800 cases just showed up. So we're going to be throwing a lot of Zaps this year. We also have Aunt Sally's. We do little miniature pralinettes from there, and of course cups from Giacona Container Company, the original, the creator of the Mardi Gras throw cup. It's a lot of stuff. It's a kid friendly parade. Over 50 marching units. All the ones you see during carnival time, most of them are going to be in the parade. And we have a couple of traveling bands coming in, one from Atlanta, Georgia, Stockbridge High School, and then one all the way from Ontario, Canada, the Top Hat Marching Orchestra.
It's interesting because we have Mardi Gras, Halloween has not really been a big deal, but when you travel around the country, Halloween ends up being like kind of everybody else's Mardi Gras day, right?
Exactly. Especially in New Orleans, the celebration, unlike other cities, I like to think of October. You can celebrate Halloween anytime in New Orleans during the month of October. Go to the mortuary, go to one of the haunted houses, do a haunted history tour, all the haunted buildings in the French Quarter. And then, of course, we've got the Halloween parade and then all the different big parties that take place. And, of course, this year, I guess the weekend after this weekend, we've got Taylor Swift coming to town, which I know a lot of young girls are excited about.
Absolutely. Brian, I was just up in Salem with the witch trials, and they have an incredible industry around that happenstance. I mean, it is wild. And a lot of it was re-engineered and redeveloped when the show Bewitched actually went to Salem and produced a bunch of their shows because of something that happened to their studio or whatever back in L.A. and just kind of changed the whole course of this thing for them. And that month of October, we were there Monday, and it was drizzling, raining. The streets were packed. I mean, packed. It was crazy, what people were looking for. And I think it's the same thing that's developing here in New Orleans.
Definitely. The crowds, I'm telling you, right? People need, if you've not been, you've got to come out and see the parade. It's an amazing show. It's 2 hours start to finish. During the day down in the French Quarter, they're doing the, at the French Market, it's the children's Boo event, whatever, I forget, they call it the Boo Corée event. And then we have Funk Fest is playing right there at the Mint the same night. They're going to have music playing. They're going to be a ton of people in the quarter on this coming Saturday. And, it's just fun. And the crowds are really great. great. Everybody's happy, and this weather is spectacular. It's gonna be a really awesome night to be downtown. Go eat at one of the good restaurants down there. Drink at one of the bars. Just have a fun time. Oh, by the way, we have three balcony events: one at Crescent City Brew House, one at the Sheridan, and then Lucy's. All three of those sold out. But a lot of people want to be out of the fray, and those are up for sale every year. People can, you know, buy in and kind of get out of the fray and watch the parade roll by.
And something to note about what you guys have done, the city does not subsidize this at all. Y'all pay for everything: police, street cleaning, about $150,000 in expenses. I know that you probably would love to have some help, but, you know, it's a lot of folks in the city coming together and believing in this and pulling it all together. So congratulations to all of y'all.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I couldn't do it without the support of all the sponsors. And, it's just as it's gotten bigger. My first year, back in 2013, my sanitation contract was, X, and now it's about 6X. So it's as the crowds grow and you achieve more success, you end up spending a lot more money. And like everything, I know people... everybody's dealing with it. Insurance, it's expensive, but it's worth it. It's grown. It was not really fun in the first few years having all those expenses, and now we've kind of grown into it. And but it's doing it's a big economic incubator to the whole downtown area of New Orleans, and it's a thing now, and I want to keep it growing. And eventually I'd like to, people tune in to watch the Rose Bowl. They tune in to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It would be really nice to have, the Crew of Boo on national TV streaming, showcasing why New Orleans is America's most haunted city, and, have little B-roll snippets of different famous people. John Goodman doing a haunted history tour. Trombone Shorty playing, at Tipitina's, just doing a show that would showcase why New Orleans is the place to come in the month of October.
Sounds like a great idea to me. If we can help out in any way, please let us know. And thank you so much for all that you do. Brian Kern, organizer of the Crew of Boo Parade. This Saturday night, folks, head downtown. You don't want to miss it. Y'all start on Elysian Fields. You go through the quarter, you come out, and where do y'all end?
We end at Generations Hall, and we'll have about 3,000 people at the after party. Flo Tribe's the headliner. We've got one room's got DJs. Everybody's in costume, and all the marching crews, they're all in the after party. So it's you can only do this in New Orleans. Can't do anything like this anywhere else.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck to you, Brian Kern. Thank you for joining us today. We truly appreciate it. And folks, if you'd like to see Rascal Flatts in concert at the Cajun Dome, WWL wants to hook you up with a pair of tickets to see Rascal Flatts' Life is a Highway Tour in concert in Lafayette at the Cajun Dome on March the 28th with special guests Lauren Elena and Chris Lane. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see one of the most influential groups in modern country history celebrate 25 years with Rascal Flatts, courtesy of Live Nation and WWL. We will be right back. Stay with us. Give us a call, 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We have a few minutes left. We'd love to hear from you. I really enjoy shows like today, because we were able to visit with a number of folks about a lot of great news, a lot of great things happening here. I know, it's easy to focus on the negative, and we see that every day. We're guilty of it as well. We're no different than any other talk show. We do it. We seem to dwell on it sometimes, and maybe a little too much for some folks. And so I'll just admit, we're guilty. Got it. But today, I love these shows, and I love the reaction when I talk to folks out and about, and they say, Noel, what I really like about what you do is that you spend some time talking about the great things that are happening in the city, because it's not all negative. It's truly not. I mean, and I try to give credit where credit's due. Some of the things that Mayor Cantrell has done have been very positive. Some, not so much. We can talk about that at a different time. But the fact of the matter is we have so much to offer here. It's the place that we call home. When you think back in the aftermath of Katrina, we just talked to two organizations, two things that came about in the aftermath of Katrina trying to lift us up, trying to, you know, bring about momentum, create that momentum, because we worked so hard to come back to this place that we call home, right? And we had others around the country that were like, what are y'all doing? Y'all need to just call it a day and move out. And then, you know, some of these weather events started hitting them and they got a little taste of what our challenges are. And now they have a different mindset, a different psyche about what this is all about. But, you know, when you think about like Prospect One, you know, we visited with Nick Stillman. I really enjoyed that conversation. I hope you did, too. They provide something very unique here in the city. And I thought I'd heard about Prospect in another city, and that's why I asked the question. He said, no, we're the only one. And when you think about now that they're in their sixth presentation, and I actually loved what he said, that you know, the folks that put on number one didn't think that they'd be around this long. And here we are. We're still going strong because the arts are important, obviously, to our city and the place that we call home. And then you talk about the crew of Boo. I mean, this thing is continuing to grow. Halloween's a big, big event in other areas of the country. It hasn't been here historically, but because of this and other things coming together, the mortuary, we've talked about them several times and all that they do. And I mean, that's been a huge success and a lot of other activities in and around Halloween. Like try to get a reservation at a restaurant on the Friday before Halloween. Give it up. It's like winning the lottery, quite frankly. And some of, you know, the traditional places like Galatoire's, I mean, it's like those places book up a year in advance. And it's become more and more of this, just like this iconic celebration of the mystique of the city in so many different ways. And it's like this weekend, there's no shortage of things to do. Go to the New Orleans & Company website. I mean, the list is just phenomenal of all of the things. You heard Brian Kern talk about so many other activities that have gone on that have nothing to do with his parade, but, you know, he's sharing a moment with them. And obviously, you could tell from the excitement in his voice, he enjoyed every second of that, of just building it together. And there's just so much to do. If you want to participate in some of the activities with the crew of Boo, there's a bunch of different things going on. They're going to have a second line at around 3 p.m. that's going to end at Pat O'Brien's, and it's going to start at Galatoire's. And then they have the Cocktails in the Courtyard happy hour that runs from 3 to 6. Everybody's going to be in costume, and that's going to be on Friday. And then Saturday's the parade, and Saturday morning they have the New Orleans Zombie Run that's sponsored by Zapp's Potato Chips. And it'll start at Lucy's and make its way through the city and so forth. And so there's a lot going on, a lot to do. If you want to participate in some way or fashion with the parade, they're going to have a previous royalty. Our own Bobby Hebert is going to be up there. Morton Anderson, Tyrone Hughes, Trixie Minx, our local burlesque performer, WWE superstar, The Miz, and renowned New Orleans restaurateur Dookie Brennan will be up there as well. So a lot to do, a lot to enjoy. Think about it this weekend. We'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way. So stay with us. Welcome back, folks. It pays to listen to WWL. Congratulations to Rakesha Maldon of Slidell. She'll be in that number when the Saints take on Sean Payton in Denver. Tomorrow night in the Caesars Superdome, Rakesha won the Ultimate Game Day Experience, two premium tickets to each game, plus VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group for each game. You can win two starting Monday. You can score tickets to the Saints Atlanta game from Dudley DeBosier, the official industry lawyers of the Saints and WWL. You know, the Saints will be home Thursday night playing the Denver Broncos, and then they're away at the LA Chargers and then at Carolina, and they come back on November the 10th to take on the Atlanta Falcons. And I think it's going to be a big game tomorrow night. Hopefully they're able to pull that off for sure. I know the last game I didn't get to see it, but I understand it was not pretty by any stretch of the imagination. The injuries have been mounting for the Saints as well, which continues to be a challenge for them to be able to manage that too, and certainly doesn't make these games any easier. I believe Denver lost this past weekend, so it'll be an interesting game. And Scoot's ready to join us. And Scoot, so what do we have coming up?
Hey, what kind of response do you think Sean Payton's going to get when he leads the Broncos onto the field in the Dome tomorrow night?
Well, he's going to get booed.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I don't think he left under the ideal circumstances. I think he could have done that a little more eloquently.
Well, I think people are going to be true to the Saints, right? So it's going to be a little bit of a whole host of reasons for that booing. But look, when you think about what he did here, you know, I mean, it was pretty incredible. It was quite the ride.
Yeah, it was, but there were a lot of 7-9 seasons, too. You know, we can't forget about that. You know, I was in the Dome Sunday, and, you know, up at the big screen, when the players come on at a certain point, and, you know, they've got video of the players, and they say, some of the defensive players would say, "We need you to make noise." And I wanted to just shout back, "We need you to tackle somebody." Because it was just... It was a mess. But I hope it's better tomorrow. I'm going to be optimistic. All right, so there's a lot of talk about the enemy within. So I really want to get into that on the show today. Who is the enemy within? And should Donald Trump consider using the military against the enemy within? So we'll talk about that. We've got some other things to get to as well this afternoon.
All righty, Scoot's headed your way, folks. Stay tuned. He's got a great lineup. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you again in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.